Hello! Sorry, let me start again. Hola, and welcome to Experience Share. Hola. My name is Tanartula.
Tarantula.
Tarantula.
Yeah.
A.K.A. Tanner Greenring.
Got one of those.
You've got one.
Yeah, I got one.
Yarn ball spider.
Yep.
I like it. It's cute.
I think it's kind of ugly.
I think it's a nice little vibe. I think it's cute. I am joined, as always, by my co-host, Fjeldi Ursa.
Teddy Ursa. Not a new mon.
Yeah.
You couldn't pick a new mon?
Well, I went with Muffin Mommy's, like, star crystal Pokemon.
Yes, the first gym leader, which is where we are going to be ending the episode in the many paths that we can take in Pokemon Scarlet and Violet, Gen 9.
They really let us loose on Paldea, the Paldea region here.
Paldea.
It's like Breath of the Wild, you know? They give us some open missions. You can go do the main quests. You can go do these side quests. You can go figure out whatever you want. But we, in order to entertain all of you and to stay consistent, are going to kind of follow a slightly programmed path.
But we'll say the same thing to all of you, is that you can take whatever path you want. If you don't want to do the Titans, you don't want to do the Team
Bliss.
Star.
I would say it's a mistake to not do the Titans.
Yeah.
But we'll get into it.
Yeah, we'll get into that. But weekly, we will be doing gyms.
Welcome to season, what is this, 9?
This is season 9. In Gen 9, we're here. We're in the discourse, the zeitgeist. Everyone is
We've
in
made
Gen
it.
9.
We've caught up to
all
you.
All the bug catchers, we're all here.
We're in your gen. We're playing the game that you're still playing. Actively playing right now.
Yeah, and loving. From the
loving
sense that I've gotten online. People are really
yeah,
into this
and from
one.
Greg last week.
Yeah.
Absolutely in love with the game.
Yeah, check out our Pokemon Unite episode if you're into that. We had Greg on, Greg Leatherman.
Really looking forward to it. Shining endorsement from Greg Leatherman, who told us to, quote, skip
just
it.
Just skip it.
So let's talk about where we started our journey in Paldea, Joshua. It starts with a cutscene. It doesn't even start with us. It's not about us.
No, no. We're part of a much larger narrative here in Paldea.
It's about a Pokemon named Coridon.
Or Moridon, in my case. Oh, I'm playing Violet. Tanner is playing Scarlet. I forced that because I love purple.
Mine is red. Yours is purple?
Yeah.
Yep. And I assume that they both grow out of the little motorcycle lizard that one of my friends at school had.
Yes. And
but maybe I'm wrong.
We see the motorcycle lizard fly off into the sun in a what I hope is a admittedly much clunkier version compared to the anime.
Oh, it looked like
opening scene in, or last scene in the anime of Ho-Oh. Flying away into the sun.
I'm going to say this now, just to manage expectations for everyone who is desperate to know our opinions on the game. I think this is a good game, and I'm having fun with it.
You want to say that in the first 5 minutes of the new season?
So far, I think this is a good game, and I'm having fun with it, and I like the gameplay loops. Here's what I'll say about the graphics. Absolutely suck.
Yeah.
Terrible. The worst yet.
I agree. Like, in general, which we'll comment on, I think there's a lot of improvements to the UI and, like, other than the map orientation is annoying to deal with.
Oh, the map orientation is frustrating.
I also had to Google again. I was like, what did they say about how do I even open the map? And then anytime to actually get it to, this is a hot tip, because I had to look this up too. If you want to recenter it so it's facing north, you hit down on the right joystick.
Stick. Okay. Handy.
But in general, I think there's a lot to like from what I've seen so far, other than these graphics are like, I couldn't even think of, it feels like it's falling back to like, not even the Wii U version of Twilight Princess, but like the GameCube version of Twilight Princess. And I think even that looked better or smoother at least.
It's not that the graphics are bad, and the graphics are bad. Like, there's a scene where you're first in school and there's like too many kids
yeah,
in the classroom.
I was gonna talk
like,
about that.
The Switch like can't program all the kids.
They all
so
move.
They're all just like blocky, like low res. And it's like, I get that if we're in like I get it if we're in like a stadium, you know, and there's hundreds of people in the crowd. But we're in a tight close-up shot in a classroom and I can clearly like
right.
I'm having a dialogue with these characters and they're all like
and also by the way how about you just don't animate all of them.
Yeah.
If you need to like prevent the clipping, how about you just have a couple of kids sitting there quietly? You know?
So it looks like shit. And then like when you get out into the real world, like everything looks bad. Like that's pretty standard now though. Like I'm not expecting like the waterfalls to look photorealistic and the trees to look like trees. But like the little cities are just so big and so empty that everything, it feels like the post-apocalypse. Like there's nothing going on. There's not a lot of trainers around. The cities are just like devoid of much life or energy. The buildings are all like too big for the people. Like it's just sort of weird.
We'll see what happens with the other cities, but they made Mesa Goza, which will be our first like main place to go to. They comment on how it's the largest city in Paldea. And as a result, I guess, of the limitations of the Switch hardware, that none of the, or maybe one or two, like there's a sandwich shop I think you can go into, but in all the other games, for the most part, like most of the businesses have an interior, and in this one you just click on a door and then it opens up a menu. Like they could not even fit the interior of the businesses into this game.
To add insult to injury on that one, when you leave the shop, they couldn't figure out how to have you leave the shop in any sort of way that made sense. So you just sort of like pop out about 6 feet above the ground and like fall to the ground.
Yeah.
It's like, how I leave every shop. got my delicious like arepas. Time to like leap 6 feet out of the like door of this shop and onto the cobblestones below.
Yeah.
It's a little wild. And also like all the sandwich shops serve the same thing. This is nice for me because I hate talking to these freaks, but right. Most of the people don't have any meaningful dialogue and can't be spoken to. Most of the buildings can't be entered.
Pokemon Company finally took that note from you of like, you don't want to have to talk to all these freaks? Well, you can't talk to most of them. And a lot of them
can't go
like,
into their houses anymore.
Mesa Goza is predominantly populated by, it seems like lads who are on vacation in Paldea. They got the
You know what's so funny?
Hats.
I took almost the same screenshots, but my guy in purple is a woman in purple.
Oh, that's interesting.
In almost the same outfit.
In my game, at least, in Violet, they're mostly dudes with rolled up. They got long sleeve shirts rolled up to the elbow.
Yeah.
They got the sunglasses, like, you know, hanging off the
there's
shirt.
There's roads that go nowhere.
And there's so
and,
many
like,
of
little
them.
Alleyways. Like I've never been to Barcelona or whatever. I don't. Paldea is supposed to be Spain, apparently.
España, yeah. But I have also not been there.
I doubt it's laid out like a confusing video game.
Level. Yeah, and I think even if the dudes maybe or ladies dress similarly, they don't all look the same, and there aren't like 12 of the same people.
Yeah,
corner to corner, you could just see the exact same type of guy.
Yeah, and the exact same sandwich shop.
It was funny the first time I saw this guy like lounging against the side of a wall. But then when I saw him around the other corner, I was like, oh, okay, it's not as funny anymore.
You stalking me?
He's here to like get ripped with his buds and forget about the girl that he probably scared away with his toxic masculinity, you know?
That's far too far ahead.
Yeah,
we have to talk about the
prologue?
Well, we are talking about the prologue.
Yes.
Coridon comes careening in. It looks terrible. The graphics are so bad.
Yeah, we'll try not to harp on it too much, but I know that that's... We've misstepped before,
like,
but
they
I don't
made
think
a choice
we are
to
on this
zoom
one, on
in
this game.
On its face. As it's careening down, they made the choice to get tight in on its eyes and face, but they didn't like up-res the like model, you know? It's still just like the fully zoomed out model, and it just looks like a low poly like mess. I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah.
Coridon comes careening down into the beach. Luckily, my guy had a sandwich, and I was able to sort of wake the Coridon back up.
Oh yeah, my mommy gave me a sandwich too, and now I also understand that sandwich mini game in Pokemon Unite the other week.
Coridon loves sandwiches. Yes, established.
Does your guy have a mom? Like, shouldn't we say how we even got here? I mean, this isn't like
yeah. Let's talk about our guys.
This is not like Hisui. Like, we have a reason. We know why we're here. We didn't just wake up on the beach this time.
Oh, I live here.
I live here.
Who are you?
Don Joey.
Don Joey.
Don Joey.
Sounds okay. Sounds like something you can be very sensitive around. Let's hear about him.
Need to be sensitive around Don Joey?
Well, I don't know.
He does have kind of a sensitive heart.
Is there going to be like a... Is there going to be sort of like a Italian accent or anything like that involved, like on the Papa Cultura days?
No, not this time. I guess he would have a Unovan accent. So he'd be, I'm Don Joey, like New York, Long Island, right?
Okay, great.
Okay. I can do that one.
Yeah.
Italians and people from Long Island, that's fine. All of that is clear.
Okay, wow.
I thought we all understood that.
You heard it here first, everyone. So let's hear about Don Joey.
Open season for Italians and people from Long Island. So Don Joey is from Unova. His mom is coming off a pretty rough divorce.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
Thank you. Because it's impacted Joey quite a bit as well.
I'm sure. I went through a divorce myself.
Or nay, Joey, however you say that.
He's changed his name back to
he used to just be Joey, but now he's Don Joey.
Okay. Yeah.
So this divorce resulted in a pretty, you know, healthy settlement, at least. So his mom, you know, Joey's like the light of her life, and she needs a fresh start, sure, but she also wants to set him up for success. And this UVA Academy over in Paldea is like, you know, top tier. It's like that school in Switzerland, Rose Academy
school,
or whatever.
Shit tier school, more like F tier.
Oh, because that's you're from Naranja, Naranja. I guess it probably is.
Naranja.
Naranja's yep. Shit. UVA is where it's at. This is the best school in the world, as far as Don Joey's mom has read about it. So she wants to get him a great education. She wants a fresh start. So they moved over from Unova at the end of the summer.
Okay.
And now they're here for the school year. And it's inevitably hard on the parents to go through a divorce, but it can be especially hard on the child.
Yeah, no one ever thinks of the parents. Oh, sorry.
And Joey took it pretty hard, and he really loved both of his parents. Like, he's not taking a side. You know, they reassured him. You know, it's sometimes adults fall out of love.
They have, like, split custody?
It wasn't pretty, but his father was at least willing to say, like, look, I want to be able to see my kid. Like, he can see Joey, but he understands the importance of this move for both his ex-wife and his son. So he was like, look, yeah.
Not a deadbeat.
Give him a couple of years at this boarding school. I'll see him when I can. I'll come over. He can come to Unova. I mean, obviously, they have money. Many, many monies.
Okay.
But over the summer, Joey was really searching for, like, you know, will I ever find someone? He binged a bunch of romance novels. He got into a lot of the classic shit. He did, you know,
he's got a romantic
the King,
heart.
Like Canterbury Tales, Sir Gawain and the Green Knight, Knight in Shining Armor, all that shit.
Yeah.
He got really into it. And so in his new life, he also wants to be this kind of like knight errant.
You know what he might like?
What?
Mark Twain's Connecticut Yankee in King Arthur's Court.
Well, that sounds kind of delightful.
It's about sort of a Connecticut gentleman like myself getting transported back to King Arthur times.
He'll put that on his reading list, I guess. I mean, he's not going to stop. This is his favorite genre now, and he wants to go and, you know, find his great love and commit noble deeds. And so he's here. He sort of started calling himself Don Joey.
Not like a mafia Don, though, right?
No.
Like Don Quixote.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
More of a Don Quixote type of inspiration, I would say.
Got it.
And he now wants to get together a band of courageous adventurers to sally forth and set right the wrongs of the world here in Paldea.
Wow.
Yeah.
Sounds adventurous.
Sounds pretty good. You know, his
romantic. And he's gonna try to have sex with Pokemon?
No, these are his band of adventurers. I mean, he okay. could find I, love okay. on the road, but he's not.
I see the connection now. I see. Okay.
They are all here to help others and do noble deeds.
Okay.
His mom's not quite as sold. I'd say his mom's a little concerned about this thing where, you know, he's making his mom call him Don Joey, and like
real mama's boy.
He's got this kind of ragtag crew he's running around with. So we'll see how it all works out. But that's who we got, Don Joey. We're following his journey to become a glorious night.
Can't wait to see how many Pokemon he manages to woo along the way. Not out of the question for my guy, Esteban Humano.
Esteban Humano. Okay.
Yep.
Tell me more.
He is... I'm taking Paldean lessons. I'm from Paldea.
Oh.
But I don't speak Paldean.
Oh, it's like he doesn't speak Catalan. He only knows.
Like... Hola, me llamo Esteban Humano. I am from here. I'm a Paldean native. I grew up with my mom. My dad is dead.
Oh, I'm so sorry for your loss.
Thank you.
That's even worse than getting divorced.
He was eaten by a Titan Cloth.
Oh my God. Eaten?
Happens a lot.
Jesus.
Really devastating stuff.
Was he a courageous adventurer too?
No.
Oh.
No. Like a scavenger,
Oh God.
He would kind of go into like the canyon lands and like scavenge the like dead body and Pokemon that had fallen into the canyons.
Oh, so he's like a bandit. Well, was rest in petals.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, I didn't really didn't really know him.
To Esteban's father.
I live with my mom. I'm Esteban Humano, Paldean native. I get into in-state tuition at Naranja,
That's nice.
My chosen academy. Yeah, makes it really affordable.
Well,
I did not do well.
I
in
cheer
high school,
that, so. But I'm booing Naranja. That's my rival.
Yeah. I have a cousin in the Sinnoh region you may have heard of named Steve Human.
Oh, heard tales of Steve Human.
We hung out together as kids a lot, like spent the summers together as kids.
Uh-huh. Going looking for trouble.
You know, I think at some point our ancestral lines kind of split. We moved down here to Paldea, sort of took on the trappings of Paldean life, but we follow a lot of the same attitudes. I'm not really a Pokemon guy, much like Steve Human.
Right, that runs in the family.
My interest is more in just like broing down, you know, like chilling with the coolest people I can meet from here to Victory Road.
Cool. Crack some beers, you know, chase some tail.
Yep. I've got a more laid back, like Paldean attitude towards pretty much everything. So if like you want to bring your dog or you want to bring your like lizard motorcycle, that's totally fine.
Okay. So
yeah. Little flexibility.
What I know about Steve Human is he was already pretty laissez-faire. So this is.
Oh, I don't remember that being the case. I remember Steve Human pretty carefully tracking which Pokemon had the human type body on Bulbapedia and making a big careful list of the Pokemon he was able to catch, and they had to be very carefully
stretched that
human type
definition.
Pokemon.
Yeah.
Esteban's thing is more just like, you know, if it's got two legs and two arms and a face, that's probably a human, right?
Yeah.
And anything else is just a pet or a piece of property from one of the crew.
Piece of property, huh?
The hombres. Yeah.
Okay.
No one's carrying any property right now. It makes it sound like drugs or something. It's
So we'll see where that goes.
Anyway, that's Esteban Humano.
Pleased to meet you.
Pleased to meet you.
Or however to say that in Spanish.
Paldean?
How do you say that in Paldean?
¿Cómo te llamas?
Encantada de conocerte. Wait, encantado de conocerte, because Esteban, what are Esteban Humano's pronouns?
He, him, okay. I think.
Don Joey's he, him also. So that would be encantado, the masculine form.
I don't know if Esteban's really thought about it all that hard, you know, really explored that. Just
that might be part of the journey, too.
Taking on what society assigned him. Yeah, I don't know.
Yep.
So yeah, I'm a young man. I'm going to the Naranja Academy. I'm just learning Paldean, so I might not always get like the right pronunciation.
Yeah, Esteban's a few years behind in school, it seems like.
Yeah. Well, I was personally selected actually by Henry Clayville.
Oh yeah.
The hunky mustachioed man who played Superman in all the movies.
Oh, he did. Clavel did that first, Clavel.
And now runs Naranja Academy.
He's got quite the CV, and he's got quite the look. I love his glasses game.
A bad guy, right?
Has
bad guy energy.
Can they I don't want to look at the Bulbapedia. I'm trying not to even look up evolutions or anything on this game because I've been pretty unspoiled.
Maybe that's just my sort of like preconceived notions, but he's got a sternness that I don't trust, that I'm sort of like balking against, you know?
Can they really do that again, though? We just, Sword and Shield was the same, where like the main guy just becomes the bad one. I'm trusting him. Look, Don Joey is gonna thinks Clavel is a chivalrous gentleman.
I think he's okay. He's gonna trust him. I just think he's like, maybe Esteban has a little anti-authority streak in him.
That sounds right. Yeah.
Anyway, he came to collect me. It's time to go to school.
And he wants to give us Amon.
Oh, yes. I finally get to choose my
a human, I guess, in your case. Maybe.
I mean a human, of course.
Yeah.
Let's talk about it. Do you want to tell me who you chose? Because maybe it was a little easier choice for you.
Well, yeah. I mean, as a knight errant, Don Joey needed to select his loyal steed. So when he was looking at these options, the clearest option to him seemed like the fire crocodile.
Ooh, Fuecoco.
Fuecoco seemed like the best option.
Yeah.
He also has kind of a disposition for little cuties, you know, because he is a romantic at
Excuse
heart.
Me? I thought you meant the Clementines.
I mean, maybe. There's a lot of food in this game. We'll get into that. And maybe that's also his thing. But we're all going to be finding that out on this journey together. But he wanted to be able to have a Pokemon that looked like it will maybe have to grow into itself. Like, he knows that he's growing into his knighthood.
Oh, yeah.
So he's selecting Pokemon that maybe they look a little weak. Maybe they look a little too sweet to really get into a battle. But he wants to cultivate them into
bad boys,
fearsome
bad boys club,
honorable warriors. So he went for Coco.
That's cool. A war band.
How about Esteban?
He's been in Paldea his whole life. He's got like a little bit of knowledge about these animals.
Right.
These people.
Denizens of Paldea. Very diverse.
So when he saw the lineup in front of him, he sort of had to think a little bit about like the people they would grow into.
Right.
So that immediately removed Fuecoco because it does not grow into a person. It grows into a crocodile. Out. So the choice was down to the cat or the duck. I liked all three of these starters are cute, but
yeah, they start off very cute. At least.
It's the finishers that really sealed the deal for me. So Esteban went with Florigato, Donna Baker.
The cat. Sprigatito.
Oh, Sprigatito. Yeah, she's now Florigato.
Yeah.
Donna Baker, she's becomes a person, a woman.
Four legs right now.
Right.
Oh, maybe not anymore.
No, not anymore.
Oh. Donna Baker. Okay. You still get into the naming conventions when we get to level check. I won't ask any questions for now.
I don't know who gave her the name. Her parents, I guess.
Right, yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of baking that goes on in this game.
Yeah.
So from here, we meet unclear friend or foe, Nimona.
She's not either. I think she's like, takes us under her wing. She's the champion of Naranja Academy.
Yeah, she's been a champion already. She's a teacher's pet. Teacher's pet.
Teacher's pet.
Yeah, and she's like an RA, and she's like, hey, I'm going to like show you the ropes, you know? So she sort of walks us around Naranja / Uvo. What is it?
Uva?
Uva.
Uva, Uva, Uva.
Shows us around a little bit, and then battles us. And she's like, oh, hey, guess what? I have a pretty fucked up ability called Terrestrializing. It does help, but it's not going to help me win this fight because I did beat her.
This is like, you know, 4D chess because she's already a champion. She chooses the Pokemon / human that is weak to your Pokemon / human.
Right. Yes. And thank you for clarifying.
Yeah. Just trying to be respectful. I'm a, you know, noble gentleman. So.
And then we're sort of let loose, right? We've got the intro road here, but they kind of give you the sense of freedom and open movement in this whole open area, this like intro plateau area.
Yeah, she kind of sets you out as like, hey, go to that lighthouse, we can get a good view of the school from there.
See that lighthouse up there? Yeah,
we meet a guy at the lighthouse.
Oh yeah, Billy.
Billy,
I don't know his real name. He looks like Billy from Stranger Things. Oh.
Yeah, that's about right. Arvin.
Arvin.
Who is a Nepo baby.
He's sort of a nemesis. He's got a bad energy around him.
Yeah.
He goes to school with us.
And he's the son of Professor Turo. And he seems to have a chip on his shoulder that nobody expects him to ever be as good as his dad.
Who? You mean his mom?
Oh, we have different professors. Professor Sada is who you have.
Yeah.
Why'd they do that?
I don't know, but they made them both so hot.
Yeah, they're both just sexual energy is just exploding from these people.
Like, I don't know why they decided to make them like both unbelievably hot.
Duro and Sada. Yamahama.
Yeah, she's got like a wildness to her.
Yeah.
I'm guessing he's like futuristic, like Willennium.
Yeah, Willennium. Yeah. He's got Willennium vibes, definitely.
Yeah, he does have Willennium vibes. Yeah. Yeah, I'm guessing they're going to introduce us to the Area Zero shit.
Yeah, Area Zero gets alluded to. And yeah, Arvin's mean.
Well, he's a little weird because like he's the one who gives you the Koridon at the beginning. He's like, oh, actually, that like you can keep that Koridon. He's been a handful.
Yeah, like I can't deal with this fucking thing anymore.
And then he goes to your school and like you kind of what is he? You like sort of tap. We got to talk about Rotom at some point. Should we get into Rotom? But anyway, you kind of like tap phones and like exchange info with him.
Yeah.
Before we talk about the enslavement and subjugation of Rotom in this game, which has become unbelievable in the Paldean region.
Truly.
Before we get to Los Platos, which is where we go after the lighthouse, we can kind of wander around the open world a little bit.
Catch some on. They give you plenty of balls. Quickly.
And people. There's people out here
too. Yeah, there's a couple of trainers too.
No. And people you can kind of get on your
team. Oh, I mean people you can capture, befriend.
Invite them, yeah.
Yeah.
To join the posse.
Yeah.
One kind of cute thing about this game is the little Pokemon are all very little.
Oh yeah.
Especially when you're up on like your Koridon.
The scaling of the Pokemon and when it is rendering well, the Pokemon in the environment are done pretty well.
The scatterbugs are so tiny that you just like miss them sometimes.
Yeah, so there's still a lot of like, you know, Pokemon are all in the overworld, but
there's one Pokemon.
Depending on how small they are, they can still be fully immersed in the tall grass.
There is one little tiny Pokemon that I saw often that that you put in the notes, but I want to bring up in a hit segment that we have called a Mouse Hunter.
Mouse Hunter.
Mouse Hunter. Every game there is a Pikachu.
Yes.
And it's on us to find it. And they made it pretty easy in this one. He's the first.
Pretty quick.
He's one of the first Pokemon you find.
Yeah.
Palmy.
Cutie.
It's an electric cutie rat. I think it's the worst. I don't think it's a bad design, and I don't think it's a bad Pokemon.
Yeah, I like the design, actually.
I think it's the worst Mouse Hunter Pokemon that we've come across so far.
You mean in terms of stretching?
I think it is
the term.
The least Pikachu-like.
I was surprised that its Pokedex entry categorized it as a mouse Pokemon.
Yeah, it looks more like Teddy Ursa or something.
Like a badger, maybe?
Yeah, it doesn't look like a mouse. But whatever.
Oh, kind of like a bear cat. I learned about those recently. Binturongs?
Yeah, it looks like a bear cat.
Those? Southeast Asia?
No.
Look them up. Bear cat.
Now we're fully in control of the game. We've met up with Billy at the lighthouse. He hands over control of Koridon. We can hop onto it, although at this point it doesn't do much. We can ride it, but it doesn't go very fast.
Yeah, after we resurrect him with a sandwich and go through a bizarre Inlet Grotto where it is being harassed by a bunch of Houndors and then a Houndoom ultimately.
Oh, yeah.
But obviously, Moridon just crushes all of them.
Oh, yeah.
And all the rocks to let us out.
We're off to Los Platos, where there's a new type of like way station Pokemon Center.
Oh yeah,
they're just
gas
like
stations.
The like amenities for these like poor nurses and Poke Center workers.
I know,
are just like becoming like worse and worse. They don't even have like a break room anymore. It's like a counter in the middle of the like elements.
Yeah, it's exposed to any weather. Just no walls. Maybe they can pull them down, but that's not going to be insulated. They need to unionize.
It's like the newsstands on like New York street corners. It's like
exactly.
Not a nice work environment.
Where's the bathroom?
Yeah. I don't think there is one. I think they're just like trained not to go.
Oh man, they have to hold it for 8 hours.
That's how you get kidney stones.
You would know.
I would know.
Take it from us, unionize Pokemon Center workers. Get a bathroom.
And then Los Platos is like the first place where it's like, okay, there's some buildings here, but there's absolutely nothing to do and no people or like events and none of these buildings open.
It's a village.
So I guess I'm just moving on.
The only thing that Don Joey took note of was a youngster who he encountered.
After this break! Oh God, that was such a good one because you just like, you walked right into it and then I let you get so far down the path.
That was a classic one. You haven't gotten a really good one in it for a while, so respete. Or what's the Haldean way of saying respete?
Probably similar.
Respeto.
Respeto.
It'll be respeto this season, bug catchers. No more respete, because as we all know famously, that's the proper way of saying it in Italian.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back.
Hola.
Bug catchers, welcome back, Joshua, to the Paldea region. We're in Los Platos, and we're headed to Mesa Goza.
Mesa Goza. Fun to say. Lots of fun names to say. What I was trying to say was that Don Joey ran into youngster Luca somewhere on the outskirts of town.
Ooh.
And that's trainer danger for youngster Luca.
Oh, he was a problem.
I would say this is almost a stranger danger because speaking of rendering the sizes of the Pokemon and the things in the environment in a realistic way, the youngsters are like a foot tall.
Oh, yeah.
In this game, because I saw him standing next to like a Kricketot at some point, one of the youngsters. And Kricketot, I think, is a foot.
Yeah.
And the youngster was like maybe 6 inches taller than that. And that just feels like the youngsters should no longer be allowed out in the wilds on their own.
I don't know, man. That's like you're kind of backwards. Here in the Paldea region, it's like live and let live, you know?
You can get mauled by a Kricketot. Like,
yeah, kids can be out. That's safe.
Can you imagine your kid gets killed by a Kricketot? Your family
yeah,
would never.
Yeah, we do lose a lot of children to Kricketots every year.
Live that down.
Yeah. Especially in like molting season, you know, or whenever they start to like emerge from the ground.
Yeah. Yeah.
Shred a kid. It's like the scene from, remember in the beginning of Jurassic Park 3 where that little girl finds the like little dinosaurs?
Oh,
and
yeah.
She follows them into the woods and then they like swarm her because it's like actually that's not safe just because they're little. They're still dinosaurs.
It's funny you mentioned that because I read the book Jurassic Park recently. And that's actually like an opening scene in the original book. And then they used it in Jurassic Park 3.
Wow.
Yeah. That's a fun fact.
Something new every day.
Yeah. So youngster Luca, the comment there is for his parents, please bring him back inside. And then also from Don Joey's perspective, this guy, he has a perception problem too, because he yells at you and he goes, hey, check out this cool looking Pokemon I got.
Don't yell at me.
And then you battle him, and it's a level 5 Choodle.
The Choodles are also really tiny.
The Choodle was much smaller than him, so that's manageable. But Choodle, cool looking.
Oh no, that thing sucks.
It's one of the dumbest looking Pokemon there is.
What does that one grow up into? Dreadnought?
Yeah.
But that's kind of cool. I'm not mad at a Dreadnought.
Dreadnought's cool, and I've run that, and I like Dreadnought. But Choodle is an abomination.
Yeah. What is this? Speaking of tootle, what is this tooting sound I'm hearing in your space?
Yeah, I was hoping that wasn't going to get picked up and that's going to make editing this bad. Unit below me is renovating.
Okay.
When there was an earthquake, when we had that famous New York earthquake the other week.
New York earthquake. Oh, yeah. We had it in Connecticut, too.
Oh, you got some waves up there?
No, I didn't feel it.
No, I was sitting on the couch and I knew this renovation was happening. And I was like, what's happening? I was next to the bar cart and the glasses were shaking a little bit.
Yeah.
And I just thought, oh, what kind of a renovation are they doing down there? That this aftermath is pretty dramatic.
Getting a fire pole through your
I know.
Floor.
Like, are they drilling into my apartment? And then I got all the texts and everyone was like, oh, yeah. Was that an earthquake? But, you know, from the Pacific Rim. So I went through a 6.8 growing up.
Oof.
So
you know your shit. Then.
Felt like the school was floating.
We also went through that really scary one in like 2017.
The like 3.7 or whatever. I didn't even remember that earthquakes could hit in New York City because I have not registered any of them until this one.
There's something I'm hearing this from my father-in-law last weekend, so I'm not sure if it's true because he probably just heard it on Facebook. But right. There's something different about the plates up here than they are in like the Pacific Northwest or in
weak plates.
California.
Yeah.
Different kind of earthquake.
I'm sitting on the big one. So I had to get out of there.
Where are we?
Anyway, RIP youngster Luca, probably killed by a cricket tot. Sorry.
We head up to Mesagoza, which is a school town. There is pretty much just a school here. Before you can really do much of anything, you climb the stairs and are assaulted by shoddiest villains that we have encountered.
I think that's true. Team Star phoned it in on this one.
Team Star stinks. Boo. They're like, I guess they're fellow students because they're all wearing, they're like skater boys. You know what they look like? They look like, why'd you have to go and make things so complicated?
Yeah.
They're wearing their school uniform, but they've got it in sort of like a pretty like safe anti-authority punk remix to the outfit. And it's also got a little bit of like a 60s like Vespa boy vibe.
They do have like Vespa helmets that have like star goggles on them. And then they like loose their ties and they're sort of like,
and they suck,
showing off their chests a little bit. And I don't really know what their goal is. They're like forcibly...
They're just like bullies.
They were forcibly trying to recruit some like little alt kid, I would say.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what the terms are anymore.
Sort of like someone who seems like they're probably into like the Sonic the Hedgehog fandom, you know?
Definitely. And we have to intercede because this person does not want to join Team Star. We don't really know what Team Star's goal is. I rejected them. Don Joey said, no, I'm here to liberate people like this alt teen from people like you.
I had a similar conversation with them, but were we interrupted at this point by Nimona?
Nimona
teaches us how to do
gives us a Terra orb. Yeah.
Yes, that's the point this happens at. Before we can really square off with these two Team Star members, Nimona shows up and she's like, here's the orb I promised you. I had to go to the Jedi Council and got their like emergency authorization to give you this orb. So now you can like, what is it called? God, I'm just never going to remember. Terrestrialize. It's a bad name. And it's not my favorite.
Terrestrialize.
Gimmick. Here's how it works. You now have a new option in your fight menu where you can crystallize your Pokemon. I should just figure it out.
Terrestrialize
your Pokemon, which means that they grow a big horn. It's like an emoji over their head.
Yeah, emoji is close.
And they are covered in little crystals. And the emoji that grows over their head is relative to, I think some Pokemon have like their own sort of like special emoji, I think. But then some are given sort of a generic like terraform emoji.
Yeah, it can go a couple of ways. The default is if, you know, like Palmy is electric only, for example. So its terraform is just electric, but a Meryl that's water fairy, its terraform might specifically be fairy rather than water, and then it empowers the moves. Also, you can encounter Terra Pokemon in the overworld, or humans. I guess that's confusing. So humans,
yeah,
can be terrestrialized in for Esteban.
That fucks me up. to think about.
Yeah, we might have to think on that one.
I haven't seen any crystallized humans yet.
Don Joey encountered some in his travels in the overworld, and they can be, they're in like Terra raids is another thing. And
oh, I've seen the those Terra raids. Yeah.
Can be totally random. So I fought like a Starly that's, you know, normal flying normally, but its terraform was like ice.
Oh, that's
so they can have cool. Completely different types.
But then you'd have to know an ice move for it to be empowered, and what
right and ice so that just seems like learn. Certainly at this point we're not gonna have access to a move to teach it that's ice. Although I would also say on that note, like I think the TM, what they've done with the TMs in this game is pretty smart, where there's plenty of them you can just find out in the wild, and they got rid of the I think we'll find out, but they got rid of the TR-TM differentiation, and now it's that if you find a TM and you use it, you can then rebuild it in the Pokemon Center, and you collect little, like, ingredients, or like Igglybuff fluff is one of them. You get, when you capture or fight Pokemon, you get pieces of them, and you can use those to build more TMs. Which is pretty good.
Yeah, every time you defeat a Pokemon, you carve off a chunk of it as like a little trophy.
Yeah, it's trophies.
And then you can craft that into stuff.
Don Joey's very into that.
Great, let's head out!
We get this tour of the school, and a couple of comments I wanted to make about this. I thought to get us into the school spirit, I don't know if Naranja has a school song, but Uva Academy has a school song that I found in the library. So I thought we could sing the school song.
Okay. Yeah, please. Do you know the...
Yeah, it's,
do you have the,
it's right here.
Do you have the...
in the notes?
Sheet music?
Yep.
I see the lyrics. Do you have the sheet music? We'll perform it on my piano here.
You need to have songs to entertain yourself when you're sallying forth. So Don Joey just already knows it by heart. So
okay.
You could follow my lead or you could just listen.
Yeah, please.
Respectfully.
I'll follow. I'm also from, as you know, I'm from the Paldea region. I grew up with these, like, we watched the college academy, like, basketball and football games, right. March Madness and all that stuff.
Pickleball? So. Is that big over there
I know
now,
all too? This stuff. Yeah.
Okay, so the Uva Academy school song. Over a grand mesa goes a stands our dear Uva, where we enter as seeds and leave in fruition, our minds wide as the crater for wise educators to fill with individual spirit and future ambition. Teach us well, O grapes of Paldea. And then that's it. It feels like there should be more. Do I do it again?
While you were singing, beautiful song.
It's a beautiful, glorious song.
I'm pretty sure I found a book in Naranja Academy, and I can't remember. I didn't take a screenshot of it, but I think the lyrics were pretty similar.
Oh.
If I'm being honest.
They didn't have to tweak the rhyme scheme to fit Naranja in there?
While you were doing that, I did Google and did find the sheet music for it. So
oh, great.
If anyone knows how to play, honestly, I don't even know what instruments this requires. There's a lot of notes. Solo piano. If anyone plays solo piano, let me know and we can get that sorted for Josh. Because I think he did a lovely song, but I would hate for that to be unaccompanied.
Thank you. Oh, wow. I can't believe someone has actually done this.
So we're sort of introduced to all the like faculty. They like bring us into like the staff room
yeah.
to like meet a bunch of people.
They're totally rizzed up, as they say.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They're all like dressed like they're going out clubbing.
Yeah. Like
after this,
they have these very bespoke, colorful suits. There's a woman who looks like a country singer.
There's a woman who's got like just the giantest, like crazy hair yeah. and like. God bless them. They can't program the hair well enough. So it's just sort of all over the place.
This staff room is like, it is a club, I think. Like you, like the lockers, I'm sure, just open up into like a bar.
Yeah, I'm sure. And then we're sort of introduced to kind of the main kind of gameplay loops of the game.
Yeah, there's three paths.
Go do all the Victory Road. Go beat all the gyms. Go get all the giant Pokemon.
Path of Legends. And then Starfall Street is that Team Star has bases around Paldea. I don't know why they're allowed to get away with that. The school is pretty fast and loose with its enforcement.
Sort of loose attitude in the Paldea region about a lot of things.
Yeah, I mean, why am I even allowed in the staff room?
Yeah. And, that's why it's called a staff room.
You also get called into Clavel's office. And you get a call from somebody hacks your phone too.
Okay, yeah, let's talk about Rotom while we're here, because it's about time. Thank you for bringing this up. Rotom subjugation has gotten out of control.
Oh,
in this
who would
game.
Have thought the Spanish, I mean, Paldeans would do something like that?
You come into the game with a Rotom phone. That's just understood now in Pokemon games. Like, everyone has a Rotom phone. In one of the cities, Cortando, you can go into a Rotom customization shop and put a skin on your Rotom. That seems a little fucked up for an autonomous creature with sentience and the ability to kind of make decisions for itself.
Shouldn't it at least be a conversation that we have with the Rotom? Like, hey, you like this color?
By the way, I got the Fluorigato skin for mine in honor of Donna Baker.
I got like a copper one. I mean, Don Joey's going to have a whole look, and he's building out,
two,
you know, what his band will be.
Someone named Cassiopeia.
Yeah.
Hacks your Rotom. This is a living creature with a brain and a mind.
It's really fucked up.
And she hacks it to, like, talk to you. It's like, also, that's a huge invasion of privacy.
Where are the laws here? Don't they have that data restriction law over here?
Three, I have to introduce a subsegment. And it's called, Is There Fall Damage?
Oh, yeah. No.
No.
There is not.
If you try to run at a cliff, your character will back off. Like, I'm not going to jump off that cliff. Are you dumb? But if you do manage to trick it into falling off of a cliff, right as you're about to, like, splat on the ground, like those old people in Midsommar, your Rotom comes out of your pocket.
Floats
and saves you.
And saves you.
And then the game very helpfully gives you the option to hit Y to just go back up if you had fallen accidentally.
Yeah. I found that out when I was like, oh, shit. I think I was playing when Bobby was out there, and he's like, oh no, what happened? Because I thought I was going to go splat when I fell off a tower that's like outside of Cortando, I think. I climbed it, and there was a Gimme Ghoul up there also, which was a nice catch. But then I fell down all the ladders, and I thought I was going
to
die.
Wait to see where these Gimme Ghoul coins lead me.
Yeah, I've gotten several coins, and I now have a Gimme Ghoul as well.
Ooh, I want to find one. I thought I had to collect coins to get them.
I think that's how it evolves. There's a tower outside of Cortando, I think, where one lives.
Speaking of outside of Cortando, there's the desert region where I had to hunt down Stonecliff Titan Cloth. Josh, it sounds like you skipped this one. It seems like you didn't want your Coridon to be a fucking, like, beast-ass motorcycle bike.
Well, I intend to do all the Titans. Like, the game tries to railroad you into picking one of the paths, but you can obviously do all of them. And as we said at the top of the episode, we will drive the season based on the Victory Road path, but I think we will probably do all of them. But I did not do the Stone Cliff Titan Cloth yet. So tell me about it.
Well, he's out here in the desert. There's lots of beautiful Pokemon out here. Little Go-Goats running around, little Cloths.
Oh, Go-Goats too?
Which are little, like, I guess, like, polluted crabs. A little bit like half coughing, half crabby.
I'm looking at it and I like the look.
I kind of like them too. And there's a really big one that you have to fight. And it's just like those, like, arena Pokemon from the last game, but not all the pomp and circumstance. Just a big, hard Pokemon.
It's just a battle. You don't have to do.
Yeah.
You don't have to calm it down with balms or something.
No.
That's nice.
And then once you beat it, it drops like a, I don't even remember what it was, like a branch. And then you can use that to do a speed boost on your Coridon.
Ooh.
Or Mirrodon. So it's worth doing. And I think that's probably what I like, this system of the Titan Pokemon being the thing that unlock the traversal upgrades like Surf and Fly and all that.
Yeah, I think that's smart.
And then we're sort of unleashed on Province 2. I obviously got around a lot faster than you did, but I was on a little a manhunt before I went to go face Muffin Mommy.
I picked up a few more, rounded out the initial band at least. Although I caught a Mon that is not in the band of Merry Adventurers yet, at least, but it is Joshy's sweetie.
Whom is it?
Fido.
Yes.
I mean,
Fido's really good.
Basically goes without saying. I mean, there are several honeypots on this trip, like Palmy too.
I like the new Pokemon in this game. I don't think they're bad.
No, I'm liking the design so far.
Yeah.
It wasn't enough that I could call it a sweetie, but even that kind of gross little cricket.
Oh, yeah.
That Muffin Mommy has was kind of cute too.
Yeah, I didn't mind that thing. I'm curious to see what it grows up into.
Largely, I do not know what most of them evolve into.
Yeah, me neither. Well, speaking of Muffin Mommy, let's get up there. This is
Cortando City.
Cortando City. It's the bug type trainer gym. Her name is Katie.
Katie.
But we call her Muffin Mommy. Her theme is a little piecemeal.
Yeah, I think that's about right.
Sort of patched together. She's the bug type trainer, but she's also a bakery, and she's also like Queen of the Spiders. And she's also like a mommy.
She's mommy. She's mother. They've got quite an elaborate setup where you go to like a check-in. Like, I first went over to what I guess was her gym because I was like, what is this? It's kind of like a four-tree style building that's got like a winding staircase and like ladders and shit. And then it's all like kind of grown over and there's a bunch of bugs hanging out. And then I realized, oh, this is like a battle zone and I can't do anything with it. And her bakery is at the foot of it, but you have to check in at a different building and then you have to do a gym challenge.
The thing about Cortando is it's where they grow all the olives.
Right.
So that's another sort of theme thing that we have to kind of deal with is before we can go fight this.
And are the
baker,
olives small olives?
Muffin
are
Mommy.
Are they eating?
Oh, yeah. It's also heavily implied that these are small olives that they're turning into like olive oil and
they're
eating.
Crushing them up.
And also there's a million like squovins around.
Oh,
also
yes, squovins.
Eating all of the small olives.
Yeah.
Heavily implied.
Yeah, I will be interested to see if Esteban might pick up a squovet, considering...
Is it a guy?
His omniscient narrator has a predisposition toward a greedent.
Is that a guy, though? I don't think so.
Pet. Be a pet.
Yeah, someone has a pet squirrel. That makes a lot of sense.
That is, anybody with a pet squirrel, you know that person is on the level.
So, yes, we had to go out to do this, like, it was a little silly. I suspect I broke the, like, olive pushing world record, but there's, like, a little, like, maze set up where you have to push an olive. Ball,
big olive
with your body into an end zone, and there's a total of two trainers along the way who can stop you up.
Oh, I didn't know I could fight them. I thought they were just olive small olive workers harvesters.
And then you push the big olive into the end zone. Oh, maybe I didn't fight them, because I swear to God I just like I punted this thing over the fences.
If they have more challenges that are like this, we should start timing ourselves, because I also think I did it in like 15 or 20 seconds.
Yeah. Like, I got to the first ramp and I hit it so hard that it, like, kind of broke the clipping of the game.
Of course.
And, like, shot over, like, three walls.
Yeah.
So I just then had to catch up with it and push it in the end zone.
Not much of a challenge.
Then we are free to take on Muffin Mommy Katie. I want to hear about the team that you brought into the battle in our hit segment, Level Check.
Level Check.
Who's Don Joey got?
Don Joey's band of merry adventurers sallying forth to rid Paldea of the evils that plague it. So far, we have Rouncy, who's a Crocolore now, level 17. Any of these things are Googleable if you want to look it up?
I'm looking them up because I don't know what the evolution of Fuecoco is.
You can
like.
Piece together where the storyline might be going. Rouncy is his loyal steed. For now, at least. But like I said, he's trying to cultivate what might be like precious little sweeties now into bold, daring knights, people in his court. So got Crocolore now. And then we have Porcus.
Funny name.
LeChonk, level 14.
Mm-hmm. I like those LeChonks. And I saw the evolution of LeChonk running around. Oh, kind of a cutie.
I haven't seen that yet. Is it still going to fit in his Band of Merry Adventurers, maybe?
Maybe even better. He's pretty, like, it's kind of cute. A little toughy. Tough little pig.
As we progress throughout this and Don Joey's adventurers, you know, accomplish valiant feats, they may get titles, honorific titles. They might change in different ways. And they might be kicked out. They might have to be left on the side of the road, or they might die in glorious battle, you know?
Good.
But for now, the only two who are starting with honorific titles are the Duke, Palmy, level 15.
Okay, like it.
And the Duchess, Meryl, level 14.
Okay.
So they're
great.
They're a couple, a power couple.
They're in love.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Okay, that's great.
Yeah.
I love that for them.
They're mischievous. They're kind of the pranksters of the group.
Okay.
You gotta have a wild card.
But they're the leaders.
Well, they grew up in the lap of luxury, so they don't really have a regard for conventions and laws.
Yeah.
Which I think probably Esteban would relate to.
Yeah.
Then we have Sapper, the Tarantula, which is level 14.
Cool name.
And then Cookie, Smoliv, level 15.
My D&D character.
Cook, gotta be able to feed the troops.
Great.
Who's Esteban got?
Let's talk about Esteban Humano's Band of Merry Bros and Broettes.
Yeah.
Donna Baker, my friend Donna Baker, Florigato, level 17. This is my friend Thad Ronson.
Mm-hmm.
He's a Ralts, level 13. This is his dog, Rum Tum Tugger. It's a Mastiff.
That's good.
It is not nice. I do not like it when he brings it. I asked him not to bring it.
Those
I
look
asked
mean.
Him to keep it at home.
Yeah.
Don't try to pet it. Don't look it in the eyes. It's not a kind dog.
No, they look mean. That's why Don Joey didn't want to recruit one of those for his band.
Sunny O'Haney is level 15, and she's such an interesting character. And how to explain her? She's not a human yet, but she will be soon. Right now, she's like more of a corn kernel.
Yeah.
She's a sun kern. But eventually, she'll grow arms and legs and a face, and I think be a full-fledged human. So we'll see.
So Esteban Humano is like a Pokedex worm, like really goes through there and like, I mean, human dex, Humano dex.
He's just looking for buds.
Okay.
And then, so I was kind of trying to jump around on some cliffs to get to some like far off glowing Pokeballs in the distance, and tumbled down one at one point, and something chased me down the cliff, and it was a baby.
Oh my
baby
God.
Baby Kyle. And I fought it. And it was really strong. It was a strong baby, level 22, Toxel.
Oh, wow. You got a Toxel.
So I joined the team. And because I was like, whose baby is this? I have to like take care of this baby now. So they've just got this baby on my team. He doesn't listen to a word I say.
Maybe baby Kyle will be a youngster someday.
Every now and then I'll come in and be like, hey, do you want to like do this battle, baby Kyle? And he's like, pretends not to hear me.
Mm.
Maybe that will have changed now that I've beaten Muffin Mommy, but. And then as I was walking around the olive groves and encountered a pretty interesting woman out there, sharp dresser. Her name is Corinne Moss. She's a Vespa queen. She's level 27.
Okay. I saw that Vespa queen and I was like, I'm not doing that. Like, that's going to kill all these adventurers.
My philosophy on the level 27 Vespa queen is you miss 100% of the level 20 Vespa queens that you don't throw the netball you found at. Because I found a netball and just like took the shot. It was paralyzed from Toxel.
Oh, baby Kyle. Yeah.
Baby Kyle had paralyzed it. So like the one time he listens to me. He does a nuzzle and paralyzes Vespa Queen, which is all it took for the netball to catch it. So she also does not listen to a word. So
no.
She is not interested.
I think even after Muffin Mommy, she's still not going to.
No. I hope it's like that they're like free Paldean spirits and not like sovereign citizens, because I'm not sure I have space for that on my team.
Oh, that could be a big problem.
I'm already thinking about cutting Thad and his dog loose. Not nice.
Yeah, you've got an unruly crew already.
Lots of interesting people I've met so far and their animals. And I have an animal too. I have a lizard I ride.
Right.
And I defeated Muffin Mommy, I wouldn't say pretty handily, but I beat her.
Muffin Mommy has got Nimble, which is the cricket one that I was talking about, a tarantula, and a Teddy Ursa.
And a Teddy Ursa that she terraforms.
Yeah, so that's the example of its terra type is bug, even though it's normally just a normal type.
It has Fury Cutter, which it uses to great effect once it's terrestrialized. Especially on my fucking plant type Floragato and plant type. Well, I did bring in Sunkern just because I ran out of Pokemon at one point, but it died in one hit.
So. Muffin Mommy actually did cause you some trouble.
Just those two. At some point, I brought in Vespiquen just so I could revive everyone so no one missed out on the XP boost from winning the battle. And then I beat her. Did you beat her?
Oh, yeah. I had Crocolore, so I just incinerated all of them.
Where do we go next?
Next, we do the Artisan Gym. Artisan Gym. Grass.
Artisan.
Wait, they gotta... I mean, it's one thing Bug, like, just should not be a gym leader type anymore. Yeah. But then to put Bug and then Grass back to back is a little lazy.
Yeah, Toxel's gonna get a little bit of a workout.
Although it's coming from the guy with fire type. And then I guess, so I will do the Stony Cliff Titan, and then maybe we'll throw in this, it looks like Open Sky Titan.
We
could do that if you want.
Yeah, please, let's do that.
We could also try out one of these Team Star bases if we've got the time.
Yeah, let's do that too.
See what's going on with the Starfall Street storyline.
That's the mission for next week. It's like Sword and Shield, where it's like open world and we kind of are in charge of our own destinies. Even more so, they literally just put the like six or the eight gyms on the map and they're like, go nuts.
It does not have dynamic levels.
The regions are numbered.
Right.
Which makes it a little easier because it's like, this is the second wild region. It's like, great, I'll head there second.
Yeah. Southern Province Area 2. Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
So yeah, it's making it a little more easy to kind of track our progress. So we'll try to keep you guys up to speed. We'll probably publish a episode guide this week when this goes up.
Yes.
So keep an eye out for that. And play along and let us know about your characters. Tweet at us or thread us or
post on the subreddit, reddit.com/r/bugcatchers. Best place to
snake in my bit.
Track levels, level check. Or the subreddit is supposed to be mine.
Or you could post on X or Instagram at expsharepod.
Yes. We want to hear what you're doing.
It's a new season. Please do play. Please do join. Go recommend it to a friend.
Yes.
And tell them to play along and listen to the show and tell them to recommend it to a friend, too. It's like a pyramid scheme. This is an MLM now.
Yeah. This is the moment that we need to stress that it's an MLM more than ever because we're here. Everybody's got this game if you're a Pokemon fan. Get your friends to listen to the show. Play along. Sally forth into Paldea with us.
Oh, I've got so much to say about ice creams next week. I didn't even have time this week, but the ice cream situation is a whole trip. So.
I bought a couple, and I don't know how it impacts the battles
I ate an
yet.
Ice cream, and like they gave me a cutscene that made it look like Esteban Humano was having an orgasm with all of his Pokemon like present. And then for some reason afterwards, they're like, good luck. Hey, good news. That mint ice cream you ate brought your Humungo power for steel way up. And I was like,
oh my God.
Okay, thank you. And then they're like, and also your egg power, way up. They didn't explain any of this.
No wonder Joe Biden loves ice cream.
Here you go. You got these boosts.
Yeah. Do not know how they come into play yet, but Don Joey had a pretty orgasmic experience with a cup of coffee. I'll tell you that. He needed his Java.
Yeah. Don't speak to me before I've had my Java.
Yeah.
Because I'm too horny.
But do speak to us on our socials, as we said. And you can also buy some merch. Maybe we'll come up with some new merch as we get into the Haldean region. But you can buy that at expsharepod.com.
Esteban Humano. Oh, yeah. You can, like, we'll make a shirt that says, like, part of Esteban Humano's crew, you know? And you can be on the crew. You can be one of my people.
Yeah, or Don Joey's merry band of adventurers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fun. Make it look like a knight's outfit.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
All right, Joshua, bug catchers, that's it for us this week. Join us again next week where we go to the other gym that we already talked about. I will say to all of you, I've just learned this one actually on Duolingo. We have that here in Paldea.
Oh, that's good.
This is how we say goodbye in Paldean.
Oh, enlighten me.
Let me see if I can remember. Signora. No, that's not right.
That's wrong. I mean,
let me remember. I just did this on Duolingo.
Don Joey's only learning Haldean now, but I don't think Senora's right.
Adios! And goodbye, and aloha. Aloha.
Adios, and aloha, and smell you later. Wait. Smell you later. Smell you later in Paldean is alerte luego. Alerte luego.
Alerte luego.
There we go.